Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're beginning our series on, the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. This series is one that can't be preached enough. I think that if you're honest with yourself, and if I'm honest with myself, and if we're honest with ourselves, we'll see that we still don't know our Father as we ought to know Him. Is that a fair statement?
Amen.
And so we need to learn more about who He is so that we can trust Him even more, have more faith in Him, and have and build a tighter, closer, more real, genuine relationship. Not know Him as just some out here thing, or just somebody told me about, or something I kind of sort of know about. So by way of introduction again to this series, The God of the Bible, the word God has come to mean so many different things today that it actually ends up meaning very little. So when you hear God, it's been so watered down. And that's Satan's, that's the plan. Yeah. That even the Christians doesn't mean what it should or what it once meant. Even to Christians. If we just make up our own minds concerning God or who God is and what He's like, then we're just creating an idol in our heads. Remember, any idol, any idea that we have about God that doesn't match the Bible, then is an idol. That's another God. Thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, that He didn't leave us to just sort of kind of make up a God and kind of come up with an idea of who He is. Because Jesus came to reveal to us the God of the Bible, and God has revealed Himself in this book we call the Bible, the Scriptures. Thank God that the Bible is the self-revelation of God. I know this is ISA Eskimos, but it doesn't hurt to hear it again. Any deviation from the insight that God has placed in His Word about who He is, any deviation from that then is a made-up God. You understand that? So if you go outside of whatever God says He is through His Word, then you're making up a God. And at that point, you're dealing with an idol. And when you make up a God, it leads to a ton of other gods, all kind of made up gods. And three of which we'll mention here in this series. The New Age God, or the Neo-Pagan God. The God to me God. You know, God to me is, God is, fill in the blanks. Then the third God is a tame lion God. Then the actual God is the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is none of those three. A.W. Pink wrote a real good thesis, if you will, on the attributes of God, or the characteristics of God. This is what he wrote. In one of his letters to Erasmus, Luther said, "Your thoughts of God are too human." That's an indictment to all of us, even in this room, let alone throughout the rest of Christendom. Our thoughts of God are too human. I could sit there probably for the rest of the time we have here, then we're going to move on somewhat. But that's why we don't trust God in certain situations. That's why we're not as close to God as we ought to be. We're looking at him as a human being. We've given him us, if you will. Pink goes on to write, we too prefer the same charge against the vast majority of the preachers of our day. Well, and that's something. He's writing this in the early 1900s. And that can still be said even more so today about the preachers, because they too see God as being too human. But not only that, he also indicts the congregation. He said, we too prefer the same charge even against those who, instead of searching the scriptures for themselves, talking about the congregation, lazily accept their teachings. How many times have we mentioned here that you need to be Berean? Go home and search the scriptures to see if what I'm saying is true. Does it line up? You got Holy Ghost, just like me. And he'll tell you, that ain't right. Or, yeah, that's good.
Amen.
But when the pastor, whose thoughts of God are too human, and preaches that humanistic version of God to the congregation, they lazily accept it. And now you have a whole generation of Christians that have no idea who God is. And the first time they break a fingernail, they're going into a deep depression. Because they don't trust God. How can you trust someone you don't know who he is? That's just in life, period. Some of you don't even trust your own family. Why? Because you know them. And some of the family you don't trust them because you don't know them. I don't know what he's going to do. Unfortunately, same thing with God. Pink goes on to say, the most dishonoring conceptions of the rule and reign of the Almighty are now held almost anywhere. These dishonoring conceptions, what is that? That he's human. Or our thoughts of him. And he said, these conceptions that dishonor God are held almost everywhere. And it is. And we see that. That's why you can waffle on things like homosexuality and marriage and abortion. Just certainly believe those things because you don't really believe God. To countless thousands, even professing Christians, the God of Scripture is quite unknown, end quote. How sad. And I'm talking about to real, genuine, bona fide Christians who are really born again. We do know that once we're born again, we have to be taught, right? Just because you're born again doesn't mean you automatically know who God is. And just, no, that's what this whole thing about teaching is. These things teach and exhort. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. No, you're born again and you're saved. Your spirit has been resurrected. What that does is put you in a position to now learn.
Amen.
Amen. You don't automatically know. Why are you saying this, preacher? I understand that. Because if this guy is not telling you who the real God is, then you'll be saved, but you won't know who he is.
Right.
And what a tragedy that is.
Yeah, right.
That's one of the tragedies. The horrific tragedies of the prosperity movement. We just see God as a genie in a bottle. Just there to just give on every, on my whatever went whim. Your wish is my command. That's what we believe God is. That's the tame lion God. Look at Psalm 50, verse 21. Psalm 50, verse 21. Psalm 50, verse 21. The Lord is speaking, verse 21. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was just like you. Under King James, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. What an indictment. Seeing God as human didn't start now. This is way back in Psalm. Millennia ago. He said, you thought I was just like you. And we're still thinking that today, if we don't watch ourselves, we'll just drift, our thoughts will drift over into seeing God as being human. And boy, oh boy, once that seeps into your thinking, you're in trouble. Because you know human beings are quite limited.
Amen.
They are not almighty. We are not almighty. We're not omniscient, omnipotent.
No, sir.
Nowhere near it. That was God's quote unquote indictment against an apostate Israel, his own children. You thought I was like you. But unfortunately, this is now God's indictment against Christianity today.
Yes.
Love this line here from Pink. Men imagine the Most High is moved by sentiment rather than by principle. Period. Stop right there. That's the root of the problem. I'm going to say that again. Men imagine the Most High is moved by sentiment rather than by principle. Sentiment, feelings, emotions. Oh, I feel sorry for the two men. They just love each other so much. Well, maybe I'll just change and say, it's okay, long second. He's not moved by sentiment.
No.
He's not moved. Somebody said, thank you, Lord. Yes, whoever said that. I don't want a wishy-washy God.
Amen.
We deal enough with wishy-washy humans.
Amen.
I don't want my God to be that way either. Or as well. Not moved by sentiment. God is not human.
Yeah.
He's not a man that he should lie. Or how about this? He's not a man, .. at all.
Yeah.
He's not a man. We tell our children, you do that again, I'm going to pop you. And they do it again, and you feel sorry for them. They start crying and throwing a fit, and you just feel so sorry for them. You move by sentiment. And so you give them yet another break. But once God says something, he's bound by his word. And he's bound by his character. One, that character being, part of that is his holiness.
Amen.
When you sin, his holiness demands. That's got to be taken care of. No sin is going to go unpunished in this entire universe from Genesis to Revelation. No sin is going to go unpunished. Has gone unpunished and will ever go unpunished. All the sins of God's people, Jesus took care of. Somebody took bore the price for that sin.
Amen.
And then for the sinners, they're going to bear the price of their sin. Because the wrath of God is against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who operate in disobedience and so forth. First Romans chapter 1. We can easily say, oh, I'm sorry, because we don't have any holiness to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go back on our word and we do this and we do that. And we think God is the same way. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, that's okay. God ain't, you know, and that ain't no, you know, God is, he all right? You know, You know what, dude? You ain't saying nothing. You kept saying, you know, man, you know, man, God, you know, man, you feel me? No, sure, no. He's not moved by feelings and emotion. He's moved by principle, and his word is true forevermore. Mm-hmm. And once he speaks it, he's a man who cannot lie. Amen. Love this line. Men suppose that his omnipotence is such an idle fiction that Satan can thwart his designs on every side. I came out of a church that pretty much taught that. It wasn't overtly taught that, but it was. We heard all kind of prophecies where, you know, where the God is going to do this for you, God is going to do this, and this is a word from the Lord. I told you about the one where the prophet, so-called prophet, gave a prophetic utterance. You're going to do this, and this is going to happen, and this is going to do this. You're going to have this big ministry, and this and that. And God dropped dead of a heart attack as soon as the prophecy was over. True story. So what happened there? You just said God said this and God said that. You're saying this is what God said. Did God get confused? Did he not know that my brother was going to die right then? Of course he did. Well, then that didn't come from God. Because there's no such thing in God's economy as an early death or an untimely death. You die on time. I know that may sound harsh to our what we've been taught, but that's real talk. Back here in eternity past, God saw that Martin Luther King was going April 4th at 39 years old. He wasn't going to live one day past that. Or my father on July 11, 1968, wasn't going to live one day past being 47 years old. Period. His omnipotence is thwarted by no one. And ain't the devil make you sick and God wants you well? We were taught that. I can teach you how to never be sick another day in your life. That's what we were taught. And when you didn't, when you were sick, it was your fault. You didn't have the faith. God has already provided. No one in scripture, God said you'll never be sick another day in your life. Nowhere in scripture. And then you get mad at God because you're sick. And you're mad at God for you're not trusting him, which the devil is just so happy. He got his whole choir happy. They just throwing a party of all time, singing all kind of great songs. And we got this guy. Because once you don't trust in God, where is she going to go? Think about that. Once you don't have faith in God, then where is she going to go? The devil can get everybody else. He can't touch the word or anything with word and dealing with God. He can't touch it. But once he gets you away from that, I got you. And the reason you can get into that state of mind because you don't know who God is. I'm not saying you, but you meaning people of God. That's why we struggle with our relationship. But once you struggle here, once you struggle you and God, once you struggle with your vertical or your horizontal, gonna be in trouble. Because your vertical must be tight. I call it the vertical. You and God. You and your relationship with God. It must be tight. Before anything horizontal, you and man, whether it's your wife, friend, neighbor, whatever. If this is not right, then this can't be right. And this vertical can't be right if you don't know who he is. And especially if you think he's human like you and I. Does that make sense? Amen. I'd rather for a Christian come and say, man, you know, man, I don't know who God is. I really don't. I thought I did, but then I heard this. I'm like, well, I have been thinking of him as being too human. I do look at him as just a cosmic Santa Claus. Just give me gifts. Make me happy. Make every day sunny. I want no rain in my life. You're going to be the weakest, sorriest immature Christian ever.
Yeah.
He's not moved by sentiment, and we ought to be glad. He's not human. We ought to be very glad. And his omnipotence, meaning him being all powerful, is not idle fiction. It's not a fairy tale. We talked about the Lord our shepherd on Wednesday. It's not a fairy tale. He really is our shepherd. But it's the same thing. If you don't know who he is, then you don't trust those words. Like, they cool at a funeral, but as far as applying them to my life, to where I actually believe that and going to act accordingly because it is so true, that's a whole different level for Christians. And that's unfortunate. The devil can never thwart the designs and plans of God. Never, ever. He goes on to say that men think that if God has formed any plan or purpose at all, then it must be like ours, constantly subject to change. No, but God has a plan. It's a plan. It's done.
Amen.
Our plans change. But you know how we say that he's the constant, we're the variable? He's the variable and we're the variable. He changed, we changed. Tell him, Lord, I changed not. I don't know what Bible you're reading. I know you've heard this before, but I hope you're hearing it afresh and anew. I love our sister Amanda prayed that we hear this, not that she didn't know what we really was teaching on or how we're going to attack it, but that was a Holy Ghost prayer. Open our ears. Do you think that you have the best possible relationship with God that you can have even right where you are spiritually speaking? No, we don't. If you're honest with yourself, you don't have the best. I'm talking about where you are. Everyone here is a different level. So hear what I'm saying. So I'm saying that somebody at this level of spirituality, or do you have the best? And I'm talking to somebody who's grown here. But for your level, do you have the best possible relationship with God that you can have at your spiritual level? I think if you're honest with yourself, you'll say no. That's got to get better. What's the Lord telling us all? This is an indictment against us. Not you, not just me, us. He saved us. He resurrected our spirits from the dead. And we're not taking advantage of being in relationship with the God of the universe. Who calls us friends and who will one day serve us. Wow, come on. Come on. Man, forget this world. This is what's causing us not to have it. This world. We're loving the world and the things in the world. That's sin, because it said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said that. And we're doing just the opposite. That out there is what's causing us to mess up, to not get our vertical as tight as it should be, compared to the area of growth you are in Christ Jesus. Because God will say, well, I have no relationship with you because you ain't nothing but 2 years old in Christ and as a Christian. No, he will have as much as you'll allow. If you open up, he's there. Shut this mess down, Word of Life. You can do it. Whatever way that looks like, begin to gradually shut this out. This being the world, the things of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Lust of the flesh meaning the things the flesh desire. Lust of the eyes, the things that your eyes see and desire. The pride and possession, the things that you possess. Don't let them be a substitute or a hindrance to procuring a dynamic, majestic, vibrant, ongoing, everyday, full-on relationship with God your Father. If it is a hindrance, then that's the weight or the sin that is throwing us off course. Does this make sense now? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As they say over in Apostolic Church, I feel my help. The Lord is begging us. Because you're sitting in Word of Life where there's teaching going forth, a bling free, full of teaching ministry, don't mean you automatically know God when you walk out there. You still got to put the work in. Amen. Matter of fact, you're more responsible because you do know. Amen. And to whom much is given, I heard somebody preaching, much is required. Y'all locked in, but we need to get more locked in away from Word. Sister Orlando, pray it. Help us not just be, we ain't no Sunday Christians. Not here. Not us. We know too much to be a Sunday Christian. We're not eye service of men pleasers. Because people, men looking at us, we're going, oh, let me look holy. And as soon as they get out of your sight, man, pass me that blunt, man. We're hindering our own selves. We're hindering us. And I'm telling you, this again, which is horizontal, represents yourself and life. A person, neighbors, yourself, all whatever it is, job. If this is tore up or not as great as it can be, the mistake we do is try to fix this instead of recognizing, no, the root is here. Now, if you just got that, you found the answer to all your problems. You just found the answer. It ain't in here. Something right here. Lord God, how can I get closer to you? What do I need to do? What's causing me not to walk closer with you? The song used to say, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, if you please. Though that song came from writers who wanted a closer walk with God. We sing songs like, Lord, make me over. Because I know what, I'm tired of, as he said, the evil ways. And I'm tired of doing the same thing at the same time. And I'm ready for change. Are you really ready for change? God is omnipotent, and no one or nothing can interfere with his omnipotence. His plans are not like ours, subject to change. They are forever settled in heaven. Pink goes on to say, the author, they openly declare that whatever power God possesses must be restricted, lest he invade the fortress of man's free will and reduce him to a machine. We've talked about free will. We have free will to a certain point. Went over that. Man does have free will to a certain point. He doesn't have ultimate free will. God and God alone only has ultimate free will. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Everybody else, spiritual or natural, do not have ultimate free will. Angels, demons, Satan, man, nobody. We have free will up to a point. Let me give you an example. Your children have free will up to a point. They can go outside. You're not telling them what to do outside. But be careful and be in the streets, whatever. They can run. They can play tag. They can play basketball. They can play in the sandbox or whatever. They have the free will. Well, when the street light come on, their free will ends. Because their free will don't trump your free will. So you follow that? Their free will up to a point. Because your free will trumps theirs. Well, think about this. God's free will trumps ours. And we talked about folks saying, believing that we got to have free will. And if we don't, then man is a robot. No, God is ultimate. He's supreme. And again, that's another distortion about who God is. God then sacrifices free will so we can have free will ultimately. He is the only one who has ultra ultimate, complete, everlasting, can't be trumped free will. Glory be to God. When you think about God in human terms, as one person put it, you lessen the strength of the invincible work of the Holy Spirit when you do that. You lessen the work of the Holy Spirit and His saving grace, because our being saved was an exhibition of the ultimate power of God. That's the greatest miracle, saving a human being.
Amen.
Because can't nobody raise a dead spirit. We can't even deal with a dead spirit. There's nothing we can tangibly touch, nothing. It's not a tangible thing that even be touched or done or operated on or fixed. But here God goes in, knows, created the spirit, and then raises it from the dead. When you make God a human being, all that, you bypass that great work. He said, the God of this century. And remember, we're talking about over 100 years ago. This is early 1900s. The God of this century no more resembles the sovereign of Holy Writ, talking about the Bible, than does the dim flickering of a candle resemble the glory of the midday sun. When a candle's about to go out, it's flickering. It's a low, low beam. Does that resemble the brightness of the noonday sun?
No.
He said that's how the God of this age is resembling the true God of the Bible. Yeah, mother, say it. My Lord. I'm glad y'all shaking your heads and discuss. You ought to. I don't listen hardly to nobody on radio, TV. I don't go to too many churches. I don't know what I'm going to find up in there. Because this God of this century, that dude living in all a whole lot of churches. That's not the God of the Bible. When you are more concerned about having fog and smoke come up out of your stage, pulpit, and having disco lights, or in the middle of praise and worship, and you stop everything to bring out the makeup kits to put makeup on the preacher because they're about to go on TV. That's crazy. That's why, man, I'm way cured. It took a while to get cured from that mindset of numbers. I'm way cured from that. Thank God we're in a church that speaks truth. It's not about numbers. It's not about how fancy the building is, the quiet as kept. God don't dwell in buildings made with hands. I don't know if anybody caught that. He doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. We can teach on that too. The word of God lives in the hearts of the contrite. He lives in you. You bring God to church.
Amen.
That's why God goes to church at Word of Life. Because He lives in you. So I'm not hung up on buildings, how opulent things are. It's about truth going forth and then you and I going out there living in it. Living it. Let us not join in the chorus of those who see the God of this century as a very poor representation of the God of the Bible. The God who is talked about in the average pulpit, spoken of in the ordinary Sunday school, mentioned in much of the religious literature of the day, and preached in most of the so-called Bible conferences, is a figment of human imagination. That's good preaching by A.W. Pink and the Holy Ghost. It's a figment of human imagination. and invention of maudlin, I'm going to get that word to you in a minute, sentimentality. Maudlin means sappy, mushy, syrupy, over-emotional sentimentality. That's the God we've got. Well, God feels so. I mean, I can't see God. I remember both our bosses, Belinda's immediate boss, telling her that's why they don't believe in God, you know, because they just don't believe that he would ever send homosexuals to hell. And the wife said, no, God wouldn't do that. I don't believe that. Because that's how you feel. That's a mushy, feely, gooey. He wouldn't do that. Because you wouldn't do that. He says the heathen outside of Christendom form gods of wood and stone, while millions of heathens inside Christendom manufacture a god out of their carnal minds. Wow, what another indictment. You got the heathen outside the church forming God out of wood and stones, and we can add moon and sun and the air and everything else, while the heathens inside are forming God out of their carnal mind. He said, in reality, they are but atheists. Wow. In reality, they are but atheists. He said, for there is no possible alternative between an absolute supreme God and no God at all. There's nothing in between that. Either he's God or he isn't. Amen. Either God of the Bible or he isn't. Ain't no God, shades of God. Ain't no shades of God. He's God or he isn't. Amen. It's black or it's white. And when you don't believe in the God of the Bible, you're an atheist because you don't believe in God. That's strong language. And they would have put me out of that church, whatever church I'm in. They would have threw me out. They probably would have physically removed me and just threw me through the window. Don't even take them through the door. Just get them out of here quick as possible. And I conclude, A.W. Pink. A God whose will is resisted, whose designs are frustrated, whose purpose is checkmated, possesses no title to deity, and far from being a fit object of worship, this God merits nothing but contempt. Yeah, he's a fake God. That's not the God of the Bible. This God is not worthy to be worshipped. And thinking what's scary is, if you believe that this is the humanistic kind of God, then who are you singing praises to? Who are you worshiping? You don't even know. You think you know. Jesus told the Pharisees, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Instead of realizing you don't. See, these scriptures are there to testify of me, the one you want to kill. And that's something. They had the scriptures which testified of Jesus, but they hated Jesus. Oh, when I say he's the most subtle beast of the field, brother, I ain't playing with you. God ain't never lied when he said that. He got them reading the Bible, which testifies of Jesus, which witnesses of Jesus, which speaks about Jesus, and they got Jesus standing in front of them and they want to kill him. You say, y'all need to search the scriptures again. Random, you think you have eternal life. The butchering of truth, the butchering of who God is, all of that was foretold in the book of Romans, the first chapter. Let's go there, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 25. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Let's go back to verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against half of the ungodliness and just some unrighteousness of men. Yeah. All of it. All unrighteous, all ungodliness, and what's implied, all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Who suppress the truth. You see that? Hold it down. Cover it up. Keep it from being exposed. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, because God has put it in them. Why? For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, which is his eternal power and divine nature, have been somewhat dimly seen, clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. When God says you're without excuse, guess what? You have no excuse. Amen. So that means God is just in doing whatever he does. Are you seeing that?
Amen.
When a guy now is a 16 or a 60, God is just. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Because I let you know that I exist. I made it known. I put it inside of you. You know you didn't make trees. You don't make skin. That's why you got to do painful skin grafts when you slide across a cement or something to tear your skin off. They got to go pull it from somewhere else because they can't make skin. I always tell an atheist, show me the guy with the 93 million mile ladder that climbed it up there to stick the ball up in the sky called the sun. Where is he? Where is his ladder? How did that sun get up there? What human being can put a sun up there? It's 93 million miles away, human being said. And you can still see it? Y'all heard me say this argument before. I tell you, go down the street a half a mile, I can't see you. That sun is huge for us to still see it, and it's 93 million miles away. Same exact, I always say this, 1 million Earths can fit inside the sun. Just creation alone ought to let you know there's a God.
Amen.
Verse 21. For even though they knew God, and here it is, like I said, it's been prophesied. Look at this, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's judgment right there. Look at it. For although they knew God, they didn't know him. They didn't want to honor him as God. They didn't want to give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures, and then the rock and the air and the glass and the stone and trees and whales and so forth. Therefore, God gave them over. That's judgment, passive judgment. Gave them over means he abandoned them in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That's what happened now. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This was foretold that God would turn into this here. Are we not seeing that? Exchange the truth of God for a lie. Hey man, you had the truth. Give me that lie. Because the devil got it twisted. He said, hey man, get rid of that lie. He go to truth. He go to truth. Ain't no God, or he ain't as, you know, he just like us. You feel me? Whispering sweet lies in our ears of the pastors. It's so scary. Not the heathen out there. I'm talking about here. And then, you know, the pastor's saying this, and then congregation, well, he's the pastor. He know better than me. And that's just an excuse not to study. Love when you tell me, hey, man, I got to do more study. Love that. Love that. That takes effort. It takes time, discipline, to get into the word for yourself.
Everything you're doing in life, the busyness that is your life, you don't have to be that busy. Some of us just do not have to be as busy as we are. That's just real talk. If you're honest with yourself, I can cut this out. I can cut this down. It goes back to the teaching on Wednesday in our introduction on judging our thoughts and intents of our heart. Talking about the busyness. The God of Scripture is no make-believe God. He is no imaginary sovereign, but he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not make-believe. This is not fairy tale. He saved us and enabled us to have a real, for real relationship with him. Do you really believe that? I like to think, Father God, that this is a breakthrough moment into the hearts of your people today, that we can have, that we really, really get to understand and the revelation that the light will come on, that we can really have a real relationship with you, just like we do with our closest friend, whoever that may be.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Help us to get that in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
I know that I know God. I know that. I know that I'm in relationship with God. I know that. There's no doubt about that. Well, how can you be so sure? When hell happens, when things break out all of a sudden, when you get terrible news, you got to go to the hospital. You know, I don't get nervous about what I'm, because Lord God, you with me. I ain't got to do this. I can tell by how calm I can remain in the midst of something that I'm about to see that's really crazy, or walking into something. Ain't nobody trying to go over nobody's house and out the blue and they tell you that the husband has killed themselves and they want you to do the funeral. You're not trying to walk into that situation. That's a tough situation to walk into. We just drive over there calmly because, Lord, I know you don't lie. You're with me. You said I ain't got to worry about what I'm about to say because you'll speak through me. I just trust you. I know. Remember the prayer we're praying? Help me to continually remember something like this. Help me to be continually conscious of my own weakness or feebleness. Weaknesses, limitations, shortcomings. And to distrust my own powers, which is might, abilities, and strength. And to always, comma, always look to you for aid, help, support, and strength. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's a powerful prayer. Amen. And I live that. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. I know that I know him. I know that I know him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I thank God for that.
Yeah.
You talking about walking in to pray over a baby that was stillborn at 6 months in the womb of the mother, and they have to still give birth to the baby. You know the story. Now that was something that make you a little nervous because you don't know how that's going to look like or nothing. But I thank God. Now I'm human in a sense of it's hard to get nervous because you just don't know what you're going to face. But I'm like, Lord, you with me. When I'm walking back and forth and I wait for them to prepare the baby and get everything ready for me to come in the hospital, I just walking back and forth, Lord, I thank you. You got me. I'm hearing your own strength. I'm hearing your strength. I'm hearing your power and in your